Isn't this a sports show?
Back to sports!
Thank you, every caller.
Almost entirely.
Like, he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way, and my photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? Too many spider boys.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Listen, I know that we are living in a very polarized political age. I get it. I know. There have been a lot of things going on in the world that have had me pushed farther to an edge of an issue here or there. But I am a quarterback moderate. Definitively. I'm a quarterback moderate. Stop tweeting me about how Pat Mahomes still has work to do. I know he does. I get it. He's a rookie. If you spent last night tweeting about how much Patrick Mahomes still has to learn, I'm going to assume that you are not a fun person to be around. I will not invite you to my Twitter parties. I don't want to hear from you. Don't at me. Seriously, if what you took away from last night was Patrick Mahomes making mistakes, who hurt you? Stop remembering Brody Croyle. Don't speak on Ricky Stanzi's name. I know trick shot Alex Taney was out there last night. He's not here anymore. Matt Castle was there last night. He's not here anymore. Stop it. Also, you can root for Patrick Mahomes and enjoy what he's shown and be present for these moments and still think that Alex Smith should start this year. You too can be a quarterback moderate. You do not have to say right now Mahomes has to start. This is Patrick Mahomes' team. And you do not have to sit out there and say, did you see all of those passes, those two near interceptions that Patrick Mahomes nearly threw? He is so not ready. Get out of here, both of you. Both of you types of people. Listen, I still think there's an argument to be made that Patrick Mahomes would benefit from starting week one. I think there's an argument to be made that the Chiefs would be a better football team by the end of the season if Mahomes started week one. I think there are arguments to be made for both of those opinions. However, I also know how the season's going to start. It's going to start with Alex Smith under center. All right, fine. I know what's going to happen. Me saying that Patrick Mahomes had an unbelievably good night last night does not change any of that. I am both familiar with and comfortable with the idea that Patrick Mahomes is going to make mistakes as he learns how to be the quarterback of a football team in the NFL. That's gonna happen. You, on Twitter, are not making me aware of that fact for the first time. Young quarterbacks make mistakes. Old quarterbacks make mistakes. Quarterbacks make mistakes. I'm not looking for a flawless Patrick Mahomes experience. What am I looking for whenever Patrick Mahomes is on the field? I want to see if he can make those throws that only Aaron Rodgers can make. He had three fantastic plays last night, but that one, and you know what I'm talking about, where the pocket breaks down. He sprints to his right. He throws off of his back foot, gets hit, and then hits DeMarcus Robinson, who was coming back for the ball. And Patrick Mahomes said, "No, no, sir. Don't come back for the ball. Just run a straight damn line, and I am going to put the ball where you will be." That throw is a throw that I'm not sure 10 people on the planet can make. Matt Stafford has the arm strength, but I've never seen him throw like that on the move. Ben Roethlisberger has the arm strength. He doesn't have that kind of mobility. Aaron Rodgers can make that throw. Russell Wilson can make that throw. Patrick Mahomes can make that throw. Then I start to wonder, maybe Derek Carr? Maybe? What did you mouth, Beards?
Cam Newton, maybe?
Maybe, but I've seen more of Cam Newton's throws like that end up wobbling and out of bounds. And maybe, there's a maybe. You know who's not on the maybe list? Patrick Mahomes. He just did it. And he does stuff like that. How much of a Scrooge McDuck are you if you watch that and go, yeah, but he threw that one pass not high enough over that linebacker. Meh. That's how I imagine you speak all the time. I can do nothing but roll my eyes at you people. What do you mean, you people? You sad, sad Chiefs fans. We're probably not going to see Patrick Mahomes play a snap for the next 6 to 8 weeks. We're probably not going to see him start a game. Maybe he starts one in an Alex with injury. Barring injury, we're not going to see Patrick Mahomes take another NFL snap for the next 10 months, 11 months. Enjoy it while it's there. Look at what you can see while it's there. Also, and we're going to break down a bunch of stuff from last night and a bunch of the NFL news that's going on today. The Browns cut Brock Osweiler. The Jets traded Sheldon Richardson. The Patriots lost a corner and return man to injured reserve. We'll get to all that later on. Also, we'll hear from Pat Mahomes from last night. Beard didn't tell you that, and you're not listening because you're on your damn phone. But I went last night's Patrick Mahomes.
I am too listening.
I addressed you by name. I would hope that would get you to it. I assume that Beard is your legal name. But the other stuff from Patrick Mahomes last night, he's looking pretty darn comfortable in the offense. He had a few times where he changed the play at the line of scrimmage because he saw something he didn't like. That's a very encouraging thing for a guy who is widely considered to be uncomfortable with his offense. He looked pretty good at that. And the mistakes that he made were easily identifiable. That near pick that went through Ross Travis's hands, went through his hands a little high. But Travis Kelce makes that catch. And bring the ball down some fine. The ball drifted up a little bit. Something to work on. The pass that was nearly picked off by the linebacker that was also to Ross Travis, immediately upon that being apparently picked, it ended up being overturned. Mahomes was doing that little dolphin hand you do out of the window of your car whenever you're driving around. And you just want to feel the wind just toss your hand up and down. He was doing a little arcing motion with his hand because he was showing, yeah, he didn't put enough air into that ball because NFL linebackers can jump. That is no longer a Big 12 linebacker. That is an NFL linebacker. So they can jump. He was trying to put the zip on the ball because he read the play well. Ross Travis split the safety and the linebacker, and the safety needed to be beaten by the ball, so he was trying to zip it over. The linebacker needed to have it go over his head. Mahomes missed it. He realized the problem. It's good news. I still subscribe to the theory. I guess that's not the right way to put it. I'm still very intrigued, and I started to buy into how Matt Waldman was putting it yesterday on this show, saying that essentially Patrick Mahomes is learning to play an instrument right now. Or I like to think of it as he's still learning the script to a play. And if you're up there on stage trying to remember your lines, your acting is not going to be as good. Because part of your brain will be devoted to trying to remember your lines. Instead of just having it be instinctual as you act into the part. That's where Patrick Mahomes is. He's still trying to learn all of the lines to this playbook, to this offense. I get it. I'm aware of all of that. The physical tools that he's bringing to the table are from a different planet. And I tweeted this at the time, in all caps, I am not saying that Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers. Beards will cut that to just have me say Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
Don't spoil it.
That will be taken out of context for the rest of time. Or it'll just say, I am saying that Patrick Mahomes, regardless.
You did actually say that you would carry Oxford to the airport, though.
For a second-round draft pick, I think is what it was. Or first-round draft pick. It was for a first-round draft pick.
On your back.
Like a koala.
Yeah.
I got a Facebook message from my mom that said, you are funny. Thank you, Mom. Someone thinks I'm funny. Beards. Where is it going with this? Oh, I tweeted. Patrick Mahomes is not Aaron Rodgers right now. I'm adding that. Did you hear how I added that just reflexively? I'm not telling you that Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers. Right now, simply not the case. But that throw that he made on the run to the sideline, off his back foot, getting hit, is a really hard throw to make. That play made me think Aaron Rodgers. Seriously, that's just what I thought. If you would have drawn up that play in Madden, and you could have switched out the uniforms, you would have put that in a Packers uniform, I would have gone, oh yeah, clearly that's an insane Aaron Rodgers simulation. Truly. And it wasn't. It was Pat Mahomes. Another thing that I've realized as I've had more Mahomes conversations and people have asked me questions about Patrick Mahomes. I disagree with one of the most prevalent buzzwords that has been used in conjunction with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's raw. That's the word. If you search Twitter right now for, like, raw Mahomes arm talent, you're going to find so many results. But I don't believe that. I don't think that he's necessarily raw. He's inexperienced. And that's true. But this year or next year, either way, it's me saying this year or next year. But this next statement is obviously the truth. How do you deal with raw talent? You have to develop it. You have to bring it up to speed. There's a lot of effort that goes into developing raw talent. I don't think it's going to take a whole lot to develop Patrick Mahomes' raw talent. I don't think there is raw talent. I think there's quarterback talent there. How do you fix inexperienced? You get him on the field. That's not even necessarily saying that should be happening this year. And I'm sort of beyond that right now because we just finished week 4 of the preseason. The Chiefs are playing the Patriots a week from now. It's not going to happen, although somebody did tweet me and it said, here's a question for the show. If you're Bill Belichick, would you rather game plan for Patrick Mahomes or Alex Smith? And I think that's a really interesting question because there's so little tape on Patrick Mahomes right now. And he's such an improviser that I actually think the answer might be Alex Smith. Alex Smith is an easier game plan. Patrick Mahomes is an easier guy to capitalize on. Is that fair? I think that's fair. Mahomes will make a couple mistakes that the Patriots would capitalize on. Alex Smith will do nothing to surprise Bill Belichick. Mahomes might. There's my answer there. It's a little bit having it both ways, but That's my thought on that question. It's an interesting question. We might even revisit it later. I don't know. But I don't think that Patrick Mahomes is raw. I don't look at him and see, ah, that's a guy that needs a lot of work. And that's something else that gets talked about all the time. Patrick Mahomes does not need a bunch of work. I don't look at him and see a developmental quarterback. I really don't. I look at him and I see a guy who has never been an NFL quarterback before. That's all. And again, I say this confidently. The analogy of him having to learn the script before he's able to really get on stage makes sense to me. I don't necessarily, I don't completely buy right now that that's better for him than getting on the field. But it's a really good point. I get that. And I think that's going to help him. I do. Will it help him more than playing this year? I don't know. I don't think so. But will it make him a better equipped quarterback for next season? Yes, it will. In fact, that's the place where I think Matt changed my opinion yesterday. He didn't necessarily make me believe that he will benefit more long-term from sitting this year than from playing this year, but he did make me believe that he will actually benefit from sitting this year. And that's a little bit of a shift for me. I was starting to severely doubt how impactful 1 year on the bench would be for Pat Mahomes. And I think now that I can buy into that usefulness. But again, this is another place that I haven't changed my mind on this, but it's a place that I've just realized how to explain where I'm at. I don't look at Patrick Mahomes as a raw developmental quarterback. I don't look at him and see, oh man, this is a guy where Andy Reid's going to have to work his magic. I look at this guy and I see, this is a guy who doesn't know how to be an NFL quarterback yet. He knows how to do the hardest parts of it, though. And that's... If you can, with two first-round picks, go get a guy who can do all of the hardest parts of being an NFL quarterback, you have gotten a bargain, man. So what does that leave? Why isn't Mahomes ready to start right now? He's got to figure out everything that it takes to be quarterback in Andy Reid's system. I get it. He's got to learn what it means to be a field general, as Matt put it yesterday. That's okay. That's the stuff that I'm willing to see the development on. You know what I don't care to see? I don't care to see maybe a guy like, this is a little on the nose, maybe Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, maybe he's a guy that's a little more used to managing the game, but for him to succeed, you need him to develop an ability to be an improvisational quarterback. You need him to be a guy who can make the harder throws, who can take the high reward risks. That's not what you're waiting for in Pat Mahomes. On Patrick Mahomes, you're just waiting for him to know the offense. And then again, as Matt put it yesterday, for him to develop the Tom Brady parts of being a field general. Yeah, that's going to take some time. That's going to be a process. So if he gets to that point, I mean, he would be a Hall of Fame quarterback, honestly. And that's not me saying he's going to get there. But if he develops Tom Brady field general approaches and has Aaron Rodgers improv looking plays, you know, they have the best quarterback of all time. I'll pump the brakes on that one. But if he doesn't get there, if he just gets a little bit of the field general stuff, if he just gets the playbook down, if he just develops a little bit in those ways, you're going to have a really good quarterback on your hands. you're also going to have a whole lot of fun while he does that developing. Have you thought about that at all? Listen, I know that a lot of people are going to see the headline of whatever this post is whenever the podcast gets put up on Arrowhead Addict. And they're going to say, he's not our quarterback. Don't talk about who's not our quarterback. You are not having any fun with your life, are you? You must hate everything. Come on. Lean into it a little bit. Look ahead for a few more days. Next week, we're going to talk a bleep load about Chiefs-Patriots. No show Monday. I'll be over filling in on BTL with Cody on 8:10. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to decimate you with Chiefs-Patriots talk and Alex Smith talk. If you're sick of Pat Mahomes, wait 2 days. But right now, on a Friday, the day after his phenomenal highlight tape that he put out yesterday, don't tell me to move on. I'm not going to. I don't want to. You shouldn't either. Lean into it. But have you thought about that idea, though, that even the developmental process is going to be a whole lot of fun? You're gonna have a couple of those interceptions that he almost threw yesterday. You're gonna have a couple of those get actually picked off. Whatever you play, whatever, the Chargers on the road. You're also gonna see some of those other shots. Whenever it's Tyreek Hill out there instead of DeMarcus Robinson, or it's Travis Kelce instead of Ross Travis. And you're gonna go, wow, we're watching something kind of special. Are you not stoked for that? Some of you don't seem stoked for that. And I guess it's sort of like scared Alex Smith lovers. You're saying, oh man, I don't wanna take Alex Smith for granted. He's the best quarterback we've had in a while. Because we've had terrible quarterbacks. Yeah, man, I get it. I'm with you. But after a game where literally Alex Smith did not play because it's the fourth preseason game, enjoy the stuff you saw. Stop complaining. Stop reminding me to look at the all the reasons this could just completely unravel. Have fun. Be less polarized. Be a quarterback moderate.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I am saying that Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
On ESPN Kansas City.
You did say it.
Can you play the end of that again?
Yeah, give me 1 sec to pull it up.
You can let the music keep playing. None of it matters. God. Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers. Fantastic. Fantastic. Good work. Now I know you, this is what you this is what Beards invests in fully. Awesome.
You complain about me not listening, then I make great content like this. Gosh, pick a middle ground. What do you think I'm doing when I'm not listening?
Fine, fair enough.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
Boy, can you imagine tuning in just to this segment? What the hell is going on today? I had a plan for this segment. Now I'm all thrown off.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
I don't even know what that is. It makes perfect sense.
It totally works. I just have no idea where that what that's supposed to like be, but it also is perfect.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
I feel like everything I've said so far, by the way, about Patrick Mahomes shouldn't, like, surprise or offend anyone. Contrarily, I hear, like, just yelling behind me in the other studio. I hear people just yelling Patrick Mahomes' name, and I'm just thinking, like, well, I guess I'm wrong, because I actually think that the answer to this whole conversation is pretty simple. Enjoy what you got. Realize that Pat Mahomes is not a raw developmental quarterback with a bunch of flaws still. He's a young, inexperienced quarterback that so far, every time he's been in the spotlight, he's looked really good. You look very smug. Beards, I don't, just whatever it is, just play it. Just fine. Just do it.
Who are we talking about?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes after the game last night, huh? Let's do that. Let's do that now. After the game last night, Patrick Mahomes, Holmes. He was cornered at his locker and interviewed by a whole bunch of people. This is what he said.
Pat, what were your expectations for where you'd be at this point in your career, and have you exceeded those?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've gotten better every single day, and that's been the plan all along. I mean, it's a process, but you want to make sure you come in every single practice, every single game, and improve.
If you had to play in a regular season game, you feel like you'd be ready for whatever that defense would be throwing at you?
Yeah, and I think it helps when you have Alex in front of you teaching you. You have Coach Reed, Coach Nags, and them helping with you with the game plan and everything like that. I mean, just learning from those guys every single day would have me prepared.
Some of the throws you made tonight, particularly the second one from Marcus, I mean, you've been making those throws your whole career, but are those remarkable? We don't see those around here a whole lot. I mean, are those remarkable to you in any way?
I mean, for me, it's all about getting the ball up and just letting the receiver make a play. I saw DeMarcus on the guy, and the guy was behind him. I knew if I put it out there that he was going to make a play on the ball, and he did. It was a great play, a great catch, and, I mean, just something where you just got to let those guys make plays.
It looked like you were initially just trying to get rid of the ball. Was that ever a thought?
Yeah, I mean, I went through all the reads. They had covered up pretty well. Just kind of started scrambling out to the right. The line had protected me for a day and a half. So I was kind of scrambling out to the right, saw D-Rob out there, and spit it out there.
Patrick, on the, I think, a couple, three plays later, third and 18, pass on the sideline. You were just there from having it complete and just there from having it intercepted. Is that the ball you wanted to throw? And is that one you would take back?
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, I would have put it out there with a little bit more velocity and he'd have made the catch, but it was something where I was trying to just look over the middle first. The stretch had beat him, and you don't want to really throw to the sideline late, but if I'd have thrown a little bit harder, it would have been a completion.
Pat, you showed multiple times tonight where you can change your arm angle to make a throw. Is that something you've been doing lately, or is it something you've just done your whole life?
I think it's just something that's came with playing baseball my whole life and being able to throw sidearm and do those things. But for the most part, I try to stay with the same arm angle, same thing. But if it comes to where I need to change the arm angle, I feel like I can do that.
Roll with Coach, guys.
Have you seen a touchdown pass develop?
Coach Reed actually had said something to me in the game plan about if they played this coverage that this could be open, and it worked out perfectly, and it just goes with game planning and things that happen throughout the week.
After your preseason, are you ready to take a step back and watch for a little bit now that you've had a chance to do all this?
I mean, I'm super excited just for the next week coming up. I mean, just really just starting the regular season, going out there into a great environment, and playing a great team.
It's Patrick Mahomes last night after the game. Few things in there. First of all, especially at the beginning of that clip, he sounds like a guy who is doing all of the development that you could possibly ask for. He seems like a guy who's into this process, who's actually picking things up. It feels like this. I know there are some rose-colored glasses here that I'm putting on, but honestly, feel free, tell me if I'm wrong. Tweet me, at me if I'm wrong, at JB Briscoe. At me. I dare you. It sounds like Patrick Mahomes has learned more in this offense, gotten more comfortable in this offense in a few months than Tyler Bray has in a few years. Honestly. You listen to both of those guys talk. That's what it sounds like to me. The other thing in here that's interesting is that he used the word game plan. He said, Coach Reed warned me, you know, this might show up in the game plan. And this is interesting because this is the preseason game. I read you that Bill Belichick thing earlier this week, I think it was, where he said, you know, there's no game planning in this. This is all garbage. The preseason is trash. None of this matters. Also, the Browns went 4-0 in the preseason. None of this matters, is what Bill Belichick said. There's no game planning. And I think that's interesting here because, to me, it sounds like Andy Reid was giving Patrick Mahomes some game plan practice as well as on-field experience, which just makes sense. It just makes sense. Of course you want to get Mahomes some game plan practice and get him familiar with how this whole thing works whenever he's actually the starter. Now, of course, if Alex Smith gets hurt, that'll be his case. But up until then, it'll just be Mahomes trying to learn about the game plan behind Alex Smith as Alex Smith is learning a game plan, as he's watching film, etc. And then, you know, whenever Patrick Mahomes plays next, it's going to be in a game he's not starting. Unless it takes a full calendar year, if Alex Smith stays healthy all year long. Which would be surprising to me. So, with that in mind, I thought that was just sort of interesting. That he's had the ability to game plan a little bit, and that he successfully did it. That he was able to, after the game, point to one of the highlights and say, ah, yeah, that's something we saw in the game plan process. I think that's just something that's mildly interesting. That's all. Did you see the story about the guy? It showed up on TV a second ago. Did you see the story about the guy who was running from the police and then jumped into the water and started swimming like off a beach? And then there was a shark like 25 feet from him. He fled from police and then jumped into shark-infested waters.
And got eaten, probably?
No. Eventually, they found him like 2 or 3 miles offshore.
Bits of him eaten?
No, they found his full body 2 or 3 miles offshore. So far, this sort of doesn't make any sense, right? Like, who would do that?
A crazy person.
They found meth in his car.
Yeah, a crazy person.
Yeah, that whole story gets drawn together with the phrase, there were methamphetamines found in his car.
And this was where?
That's a great question. It sounds like a Florida story.
That's what I was going for. Yeah, there were two things that could have made that sound like it did.
Running into the off a beach. Meth.
Meth in the car in Florida.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yes. If a story goes, swam into the ocean, and there was meth in his car, part three of that trifecta is usually starting the story with, according to Florida police. But there's like video of him swimming in the water with a shark out like 25 feet to his right.
I have bad news.
Not Florida?
North Carolina.
Whoa! That's an upset!
Although I feel like the Carolinas are a little weird anyway and nobody really talks about it.
Also, meth.
That too.
Listen, Missouri has a lot of meth in it, right? If you're on enough meth, you could think that you're swimming away from the police while being in the middle of a field in Missouri, I feel like. Isn't that sort of how meth works? I've never done meth, personally.
Why do you think whaling's been outlawed in Kansas?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Whaling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meth is the answer.
Basically, yeah.
Listen, kids, I want you to hear me loud and clear here. Meth is usually the answer. Wait a second. Meth is usually the answer to questions about why crazy
why did
people
you behave
did
like
things.
That. Yeah.
Right.
You don't want to be that person.
Right. Meth is not necessarily the answer to, say, your problems. For clarification's sake. Don't do meth. Unless you're in Florida. A couple other things from last night's preseason game. Back before the game, CBS Chiefs, I don't know how to even cite, the Chiefs preseason like football game crew did an interview with Brett Veach. And Veach was super open about Cam Irving being a backup swing tackle and also maybe some center. But he said backup swing tackle, which makes sense. They cut Ja Reed, but it's just something that Veach was very open about. And also, he was very open about Reggie Ragland not being healthy yet, not seeming fully healthy recovered yet. I thought that was also kind of interesting. So he's a guy that maybe starts this season on the PUP list, perhaps. I would say that's probably unlikely. I think he'll probably be back in a few weeks. But either way, that'll be something to keep an eye on, where he very likely isn't going to be at 100% yet, and also that what you saw in Buffalo isn't necessarily 100% of Reggie Ragland. He was a scheme problem and a health problem there, so it makes sense that they were going to be willing to move him. Beyond that, Cam Irving and Reggie Ragland, neither of them played last night, which again makes sense. They're both very recently brought into this team. And now I'm seeing a video again of a shark swimming around as this shirtless man tries to swim away from the police. The video is amazing. I don't think I could swim for 2 or 3 miles offshore. Like, I don't think I'm physically capable. I think I would drown by the time I got out there. But I'm also not on meth, so I guess that's the answer. A few other things from last night. There were several highlights that I think you can feel very good about. On the defensive side of the ball, there were I think 3 different guys who I would say looked like they did not belong going up against third stringers. And that was Yukime Oligwe, Kevin Pierre-Louis, and Tano Passanio. Those 3 guys out there looked like they were playing. They looked like they were varsity football players playing on and against the JV team. Those guys were dominant. Oligwe had 6 tackles in the first 2 drives, and then he had that interception that was amazing. He batted the ball up to himself, pulled it in. Kevin Pierre-Louis was all over the field. Tano Passanio all over the field, and also spent a lot of time at outside linebacker. Those 3 guys looked like men playing with boys. And that's good. You want to see that from those 3 guys especially. Those are 3 guys that you intend to have be a larger part of the team, but you wanted to get them as many reps as you could because Pierre-Louis is a new addition, and the other 2 guys are rookies. So you want to see as much of that as possible. And it was a good look. As y'all also already mentioned, DeMarcus Robinson looked fantastic alongside baby Aaron Rodgers. There's also been a lot of NFL news coming through today. Teams are starting to do their first kind of early round of cuts. They're going to have to cut way down by Saturday. Tomorrow afternoon, I think it's like 3 o'clock Central. I don't know. It's a ballpark. We'll figure it out during the break. A lot of NFL news going on. Also, a lot of Chiefs writers are putting out their projected 53-man roster. We'll get to all of that at the top of the hour.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
The Patriots have been to the Super Bowl 5 times in 15 years, and Donald Trump is the only one to get a ring from the Patriots.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Seems redundant because Putin already has one.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Damn it! I was listening to that rejoin thinking, where is this funny? I'm just reading about a story where the Patriots gave Donald Trump a Super Bowl ring. Is that? Oh, there's the joke. You had me on the edge of my seat, Beards. Edge of my seat. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. Honestly, that...
You laughing at your own joke there?
That I'm laughing at the whole thing. I think that liner is one of the... It's not a quintessential liner yet at this point, but that, like, 10 seconds of showtime is a quintessential piece of this show. Like, this show is that joke and then
Pat Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers, 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 Rodgers.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I am saying that Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
With Joshua Briscoe.
This one. Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. On ESPN.
That one. And also now Donald Trump is on my screen in front of me because he's trying to ship a bunch of people out of the country insanely. This is your fault, Beards. You did this. Yeah, you did this to me.
I mean, I am just replaying your words.
That's true, but you gave them to me at a very fragile time.
When you've realized that Mahomes isn't going to be back for 12 weeks?
No, whenever Donald Trump is going to deport some of my friends. Also, the Mahomes thing isn't
actual
great.
Real world concerns, those don't have a place here.
Yeah, they're on the TV in front of me, and you brought up that liner. And now I'm just going like, oh, yeah. I just found out one of my friends is a problem for him. Okay, fantastic.
Back to sports!
Go to hell.
That was a harsh reaction.
I figured if you've listened to like a lot of this show and you know the thank you every caller thing, it would be a nice little comedic surprise. God, I'm just staring at this TV now, just waiting for... No. Be a toast of sports radio show for me for a minute, would you? I have to scream into the void. Do what you think the show
is.
If
you're going to scream into the void, do it like in the corner. Yeah. To where we don't blow out the mic.
Sure. I actually did want you to pretend to host this show. I was curious what that would sound like for you.
Well, Mahomes isn't going to be back for a while. Josh, how do you feel?
Bang!
That took a darker turn.
The funniest thing about that was watching Beards literally. He's wiping tears out of his eyes right now. Brock Osweiler got cut. Listen, man, I just... Sometimes I think, oh, God, we got to fix this show. And then I think, if you're listening to the show and you hate the last 4 minutes, this probably isn't for you, I guess, right? Like, I don't know. If you listen to this show and you never laugh, we're doing something wrong, right? Like, again, sports radio is so dumb. This whole building is full of people making their living on talking about a game. Laugh with me, damn it. Okay. All right, there's a bunch of NFL news, and there's some other Chiefs stuff to talk about. There's the liner. Yeah, this is your fault. You picked that liner. You could have just played a nice Patrick Mahomes liner. Gotten us through all this. Yesterday, by the way, Andy Reid confirmed that Patrick Mahomes will be the backup quarterback going into the season. Not because he was confirming that he's not starting. I just think the way the question was asked, I'm pretty sure it was just like confirming that he's not being jumped by Tyler Bray. Obviously. Ridiculous.
Were there those people that thought that?
No, I don't know.
He had to clarify that?
It was, by the way, Therese, I think, asked him, and it doesn't make any sense. Like, Therese is smart. He's looking for confirmation, I guess. I don't know. Just making sure. It's fine. Whatever. It was a reporter getting a confirmation. So be it. That's fine. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, wait, really? That's a question? Okay, cool. That's fine. I mean, it wasn't actually a question. Whatever. There's a bunch of NFL news going on. Today is unofficial cut day. The official cut deadline is tomorrow.
Oh, man. Two really good tweets just popped up, and they're just politics. I'm just going to read them because they're very funny, and then we're going to get back to the NFL. Sorry. Somebody says, we don't talk enough about how the border wall is probably literally impossible to build. We're having a national debate over, basically, whether to breed a giant mouse that can eat the moon.
That's so good.
Also, Corey has tweeted in to say, hate to tell you, but based solely off that cut, Beards McFly has passed you as the talent of the show.
I'll take it.
Sorry for that long silence. I had to tell Beards a joke that was only for him.
Oh, such a stupid show.
Also, Ray tweeted in earlier, because one of the pieces of NFL news, one of the pieces of the NFL news that came down was that the Bears cut Victor Cruz, former Giants receiver, and I said, I thought that was an interesting move. He's getting an MRI tonight, so that's probably going to be a problem. But that's a guy that, you know, has had his career derailed by injuries, but had a lot of speed. If he still has that speed, I'd be interested in him. And Ray tweeted and said, I think we're fine at wide receiver. And by fine, I mean as good as we can be till Mahomes starts. And that's also kind of fine. In fact, we have all the NFL news, and then we also have Sports Illustrated has 10 things you need to know about the Chiefs going into the season. It's an article that from Andy, I'm going to say Benoit, maybe it's Benoit. I don't know how to pronounce the name. And there's a lot of interesting stuff in here that we'll get to at some point. Either today or next week, I don't know, probably today. But part of it, here's one from this that I actually think is really interesting and maybe the one that requires the most explanation. It says, Kansas City's passing game is unique because it doesn't rely on wide receivers winning one-on-one outside. That's why the expensive Jeremy Maclin was let go. I read that and kind of go, here's the rest of the little write-up on that point. The scheme is more about running route combinations than The scheme is more about route combinations, creating opportunities for tight ends and running backs. This diminishes the considerable advantage of cornerbacking talent that division rivals Denver and Chargers have, and it forces linebackers and safeties to make plays in coverage. Naturally, the throws that come here are more about timing and less about velocity and precision accuracy, which is why Alex Smith, a caretaker quarterback, call him a point guard QB, if you feel that's more respectable, is a fine fit. And that is interesting, and that is something that Andy Reid does very well, and it's why I think there's a really good chance that the Chiefs end up keeping all four of their tight ends, not including, I think, I can't remember the other, Orson Charles? I almost said Orson Welles. I think that the Chiefs might end up keeping Kelce, Harris, Ross Travis, and Gavin Escobar because they're looking for those mismatches out of the backfield and from the tight end position. So I think that's a very interesting observation that might remove a little bit from the need the Chiefs have to add a receiver. I would still very much like to see that. I'd still very much like to see them bring in some more speed. But the Chiefs have been reluctant to do that, it seems like. Now, also, we haven't seen Brett Veach do that. John Dorsey is a guy who brought in Tyreek Hill and not many other speed guys. So maybe they got lucky on Tyreek Hill. They were just trying to draft the punt returner, kick returner. And he ended up developing into more than any team in the NFL imagined that he would. That's something I think is interesting. Other pieces of NFL news. The Browns cut Brock Osweiler. This might sound like a dumb thing, but it's actually the logical culmination of a good move that they made. The Browns essentially traded $16 million in cap space for a second-round pick. They didn't need that cap space this year. They need draft picks for the future. That makes sense to me. I'm good with that. Don't just assume that every move the Browns make is idiotic. That's silly. Go ahead and think about the choices that were made, the Browns made a nice move. Cost a bunch of cap space they weren't going to use this year anyway because they're not going to win jack this year. But they have a valuable quarterback. Deshaun Kizer on a second-round contract. If he works out, then they're going to have all this cap money free up, more draft picks for the future. The Browns are trying to build well. You can't ask for much more than that, in my opinion. The Jets traded defensive end Sheldon Richardson to Seattle for wide receiver Jermaine Kearse and a second-round pick. Jermaine Kearse's name came up yesterday on Twitter as the Seahawks were apparently trying to trade him. Whenever I saw that the Jets traded for him, I was very confused. Then I saw that included Sheldon Richardson, and they were also getting that second-round pick back. They're also swapping sevens, which I don't understand at all. Whatever. But they get Jermaine Kearse and a second-round pick for Sheldon Richardson, who I think only under contract for one more season. So that makes sense for the Jets, who are continuing to move the bar on tanking. They are definitively tanking hard. I just saw a clip on ESPN of Venus Williams serving a tennis ball into the crotch of a ball boy. And he it wouldn't have been that funny if it wasn't for his face. He was like, he was immediately in pain. That was funny. That distracted me. Ooh, also on SportsCenter right now. Oh, it's that Patrick Mahomes throw. Oh, hell yeah. That's my quarterback. I just watched that replay twice and said nothing. What fun. Also, the Patriots lost cornerback and return man Cyrus Jones for the season with a torn ACL and a meniscus. And I'm keeping a very close eye on Twitter throughout today's show because things are popping up here and there. I'm not going to give you every single piece of NFL news. I'm not going to give you everything that comes across the timeline, but anything that seems like it could be relevant to the Chiefs or is irrelevant to a good conversation or to the NFL as a whole, I'll bring it to you. That's what we're keeping an eye on throughout the rest of the show today. I mentioned some of the things from last night that stood out to me. How good Mahomes and DeMarcus Robinson looked on the offensive side of the ball. How good Ukemi Alegwe, Kevin Pierre-Louis, Tano Pastenu looked on the defensive side of the ball. Those all looked like guys who were outplaying their opposition, which is what you want to see from guys that you expect to outplay their opposition. It would have been disappointing if Ukemi Alegwe would have gone out there and just sort of blended in with all the threes. So to see him take it to a next level, very encouraging there. And it makes me more optimistic about the depth of this team in general, all of the places that it that looks like it can grow. There have been a bunch of 53-man roster predictions that have popped up over the last couple of days. Trez Paylor did one, Adam Teicher did one, and I'm not going to give you a 53-man roster prediction, but I do want to look at the fringes of those guys. In fact, Arrowhead Pride, Joel Thurman, put out one that has a comparison between Trez Paylor's prediction, Adam Teicher's prediction, and Matt Stagner's prediction, a guy we've had on the show from Arrowhead Pride. And it compares those three guys and looks for the differences that they have. So you can sort of see the fringes on this team. And so we're going to look at that now, because I think that's interesting. Some of you probably don't. This is a nerdy Chief show. I'm sorry. Sometimes this show is ridiculous. Sometimes it's a very nerdy Chief show. But I think it matters. Also, Beard, put that in a promo somewhere, would you please? This show is sometimes... If you could just fit this whole segment into a 30-second promo, I think that would be most appropriate.
I'm going to have to bend the laws of quantum mechanics, but I'll get right on it.
No, just speed it up times like 1,000.
Oh, I can do that.
It just might not sound
good. It'll be like the end of the car ads or whatever.
Right, except yeah, for even more.
Even faster.
Yeah, it'll just seriously probably won't be able to pick out any
I
words.
I bet you we could fit a 2-hour show into about 30 seconds.
All right, there's a production task for you. I want you to get, once the segment is over, I want you to get this segment. I want you to speed it up into a 30-second chunk.
I can do that with the first hour right now.
I think I want this segment specifically. You have to wait till the segment's over, I understand. But that's that. That there's a tease for the rest of the show. Fantastic. You get to rehear this hour in 30 seconds. God, I have a frog in my throat that I wish would move out already. And I'm just realizing how many times I've had to hit the cough button in this segment. It's insane. So these guys went through the 53-man roster, gave their predictions. Here's where I think things stand out. First of all, they all have Mahomes. I said Mahomes. I meant Alex Smith. They all said Smith, Mahomes, Bray. I do think there's still a really reasonable chance, if not reasonable chance, a logical set of reasoning for why the Chiefs should just carry those two quarterbacks. We talked about that a little bit already, so I'll move on. They all have the same four running backs, being Hunt, Spiller, West, and Sherman. They all have the same wide receivers, except there's a little bit of shifting around for DeMarcus Robinson and Chontavious Jones. Robinson looked so good yesterday that I think he's going to be a hard guy to keep off this roster. Also, I still think there's a really reasonable chance that some of these guys will end up not making it because someone else shows up on the waiver wire. I continue to look at this list here. Tyreek Hill, Chris Conley, J.O. Chesson, D'Anthony Thomas, Albert Wilson, Chontavious Jones, DeMarcus Robinson. I look at those guys, and the one name that stands out to me truly is Albert Wilson. I know the Chiefs love whatever he does, but he does not make sense in that group. I think he does fewer things well than anyone else on that roster. But it seems like he's going to be here. Tight ends, they all have all four of those guys I mentioned earlier making it. The offensive line has some shifting around. The most interesting thing is that Adam Teicher does not have Parker Anger making the team. I think that Parker Anger is going to start. But Teicher's seen more of this team in training camp and stuff than I have. I think the goal is to get Anger back and starting, though. That would be a pretty big surprise. On the offensive line. Defensive line, there's apparently a question about Roy Miller making it or not. The Chiefs brought him in. I don't know his specific salary cap hits and how his contract is set up. He might be a guy that's very easy to release or a guy that's going to get paid regardless. He hasn't done very much since he's been brought on this team, but I do think that he makes a lot of sense still with what this team needs to do in the run defense. Teicher does not have Roy Miller making the team. In fact, he only has the defensive line having five guys on it. Linebackers, something interesting that happened is that Teicher and Terrez both have Tano Passanio now listed as a linebacker, which I think is where he's going to be. The Chiefs seem to like him as an outside linebacker. He moves and looks like an outside linebacker, and you remember that he's 290 pounds. He doesn't have the technical skills right now of a guy like Justin Houston. But you look at him physically and you think, who on earth is going to slow that guy down? I think that's interesting. One of the most thought-provoking theories, though, that's come up is what Adam Teicher said about Tambahalee. He thinks that Tambahalee will start this season on the physically unable to perform list, and I had not considered that. He's a guy who has not shown up at all during the preseason, at all really during practice. It would help the Chiefs save a roster spot now, and then you would bring in a healthy Tambahalee, allegedly, 6 or 7 weeks into the season. That's interesting. That's an interesting perspective. It adds a more rested Tamba to the halfway point in your season. It's going to mean more work for Tano Passanio. Daddy Nicholas, though, still probably also starting on the PUP list. But I thought that was interesting. I had not considered that. The defensive backs are also interesting. Is it DJ White, Devontae Busby, Kenneth Acker? I would go with DJ White. I think that DJ White's going to be the guy that has the highest ceiling out of all of those guys. The guy that has the chance of being able to reach a new level and maybe even being the best corner now of that group. But I ultimately think if I had to bet money right now that maybe none of those guys make it, because the Chiefs have got to be looking out for some other options, and they all have the same three special teamers. So there's a little bit of a peek at a potential 53-man roster. Now, before the show is over, one of those guys will probably get cut. By the time people hear this on the podcast, the roster might be almost set by now. But
this is a very I would say fun season, a fun day or two stretch in football. But you know, 1,100 guys are losing their jobs, so fun might not really be the word. But it's going to be. I'm trying not to say the word interesting again because I say the word interesting so much. It's a very interesting time, though, honestly. KCTV 5 has a headline thing up right now. It says, new at 6, stolen sword. And it had a picture of Arrowhead. And I'm wondering if that's about the Chiefs beating the Titans. Because the Titans logo is kind of a sword in the shape of a T. I think it's like a blade, right? Like, if that story is not actually about a sword. Yeah, their alternate logo. Their alternate logo is a sword for sure. And so that's what their primary logo is based on.
If that is what they're trying to do, they're really reaching.
It definitely is a reach. In fact, I never really thought about how terrible that T is on that logo. If you look at it real close.
Yeah, I've got it pulled up.
Like, it's kind of awful.
It's not great.
What are the Titans trying to do? Other than make Patrick Mahomes look like Aaron Rodgers.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
And then I say MVP-ness.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I think that's the only thing I feel shame about. And that's the only liner I've ever felt shameful for. I just messed that up so bad. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. Did you hear that, folks? 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. Put that in your presets.
Where else can you find us?
Oh, you can also find us on 1510.com or search ESPN 1510 on the TuneIn app. Also, go wherever you get your podcasts and search for Almost Entirely Sports, and it's gonna freaking be there. Also, if there's somewhere that you look for podcasts and it's not there, tell me. I'll get it there. But it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher. It's on Google Play Music. I manually submitted it to the Player FM app, which is an Android app that I use for my podcasts. It is out here. There were a couple of bad things from the preseason game last night. None of them are Patrick Mahomes. But there are a couple of things, really one thing. There's really one thing, and this at this point has become essentially a meme of this show. I am terrified about the cornerbacks. Chris Jones got on the field a little bit last night. Just towards the very beginning, he was active, and someone said he got third knockoff throws. I didn't even see him do anything, frankly. But he was active, again, quotes, to knock off the rust. Terrence Mitchell was not. And that's the problem that I'm seeing right now that terrifies me. I'm a little surprised that at this point, now currently we're live at 5:30 on Friday. And there's no news about anything the Chiefs done at the cornerback position. I don't like what the Chiefs have at receiver beyond Tyreek Hill, really. I've seen some good stuff from DeMarcus Robinson, but I do buy in a little bit to the idea, buy in a little bit to what SI said there that I read a little bit earlier about the Chiefs' offense not really being receiver dependent. I'll tell you what, I do believe that next year the Chiefs are going to use some of that salary cap space they pick up by cutting Alex Smith on some receivers for Patrick Mahomes, because he is going to throw the ball to his receivers. And frankly, he might make DeMarcus Robinson look like he did last night. That'll be part of it. I'm more interested in Tyreek Hill 2018 than I am Tyreek Hill 2017, and I'm pretty interested in Tyreek Hill 2017. But I think I know how he's going to get used by Alex Smith, and it's not awesome. But so what's moving the needle at this point for me? It's the cornerback spot. The cornerback spot is, first of all, universal. The Chiefs are going to need corners this year, next year, forever into the future. Good cornerbacks are rare. Good cornerbacks are valuable. And I would argue good cornerbacks are completely necessary. The Chiefs have one right now. And I actually like Terrence Mitchell. I think I've been higher on him more often and was higher on him sooner than most. I don't think that he's the next Marcus Cooper. I think he's actually a guy who can hang with some of the best of the best. I really do. He got targeted. He got targeted really aggressively by some very good quarterbacks, and he held his own. He ended up spending a lot of time up against Antonio Brown in the playoff game. That defense held up. That makes me feel pretty good about him. The problem is that he's been out for weeks. He got hurt before the first preseason game in training camp. We haven't seen or heard from him since. And I know that I'm beating a dead horse here a little bit. So if you're sick of the conversation, I get it. But man, it's giving me a lot of pause. I wasn't really looking to see him play very much yesterday, if at all. But whenever Chris Jones was active, because he wasn't active in the third game, it made me more worried about Terrence Mitchell. It also made me more worried about Eric Berry. I don't like nagging below the knee injuries. Really below. I don't like nagging below the waist injuries, I guess. Leg muscle strains, foot problems, heel injuries. Those things nag. They drag on. They pop back up randomly in week 9. In fact, I was talking to somebody a few days ago, and they said, you know what terrifies me about heel injuries is that heel injuries sometimes turn into Achilles injuries. And that's terrifying. I hate that. I hate the idea of Eric Berry having any sort of below the knee extra risk because of this heel injury. But I thought that was interesting, something I hadn't thought of yet. I feel better about Justin Houston, frankly, than I do about Terrence Mitchell, maybe even Eric Berry at this point, because I remember people saying, I guess now, what, a year and a half ago? Almost 2 years ago, saying that it takes 2 years for an ACL to fully repair or to fully get back from where you were. So I haven't been panicking about Justin Houston. I've been disappointed in what Justin Houston has provided. But I guess I'm more optimistic about him now. I wouldn't necessarily be betting on him at this point to be the Justin Houston of old. But I feel better about him now than I have in a while. Mitchell, not so much. Berry, not at all. So that was the biggest thing last night that worried me, is just that there's no real sign of Terrence Mitchell returning to this team anytime soon. That's rough. One other piece of NFL news before we go back to that SI story. I have no idea how to talk about this, but the NFLPA and the NFL are going to end up in a war over Ezekiel Elliott. This is all from Tom Pelissero? On Twitter, at Tom Pelissero. We're going to say Pelissero. He's a reporter for the NFL Network, NFL.com. He's a radio host on Sirius XM NFL and 1500 ESPN. So the NFLPA has officially filed an emergency motion for a temporary restraining order in the Ezekiel Elliott case, per court records. The temporary restraining order is what would allow Elliott to play while his suspension, assuming all or part is upheld by Harold Henderson, who's overseeing them, enters the court system. The case has been assigned to U.S. District Judge Amos Luis Mizon III, an Obama appointee in the Eastern District of Texas. There's a lot of paperwork being pushed around this Ezekiel Elliott suspension. There have been reports that someone had suggested to the NFL there be no suspension at all due to not being enough evidence. He's currently facing a hefty suspension that I would think was sort of planned to eventually be reduced. But that's something to keep an eye on, man. It's just going to be a mess. And whenever there's more to it, I'm happy to talk about it more. Right now, we're just playing this waiting game, and every once in a while, it's like looking at a car accident. They go over and they go, wow. Literally right now on CBS in front of me, there's a chemical plant on fire. That is the best analogy I can make to this Ezekiel Elliott thing. It looks bad right now. There's a mess going on right now. And, ooh boy, if it burns a little while longer, it could be disastrous.
Let's hope people turned on those safety valves.
Yeah, no kidding. Is that an NFL thing? Is there an NFL safety valve? I don't know what that is. Yeah, there's a fire at a chemical plant in Crosby, Texas, and there's like a pillar of black smoke. Not great. But so that's something where I don't even know how to begin to talk about the Ezekiel Elliott thing right now. It just is a real mess, and the NFL and the NFLPA are going to go to war over it. All right, Beard, let's read the internet. SI.com has that story. I don't know if they're doing this, but every team I'm guessing they are. 10 Things You Need to Know by Andy Benoit. Benoit? Maybe it's Benoit. It's spelled like Benoit. And I already read you one of them. I gave you one. He has 10 things you need about the Chiefs. He gives you a little blurb and then an explanation. Some of them we'll read the full paragraph of. Some of them I'll read you the little opening line, and you'll be like, yeah, I get it.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
Number one, the plan is for Tyreek Hill to be an every down player in 2017. This can fundamentally change the makeup of Kansas City's offense. I'm going to read this full one, just so you know that I've been making this up this whole time. Hill can line anywhere as wide receiver, including up by the line on himself, on the weak side, Dez Bryant or AJ Green style. He's also dangerous in the backfield, and is even more dangerous on gadgetry, which is a big part of Andy Reid's brilliantly schemed misdirection-based offense. I've been telling y'all. I hope you've been listening. Number two, Kansas City's passing game is unique because it doesn't rely on wide receivers winning one-on-one outside. That's why the expensive Jeremy Maclin was let go. Read that one earlier. Number three, the nature of this highly schemed offense also makes it unconducive to a raw quarterback like first-round rookie Patrick Mahomes. Don't be surprised if Mahomes learns from the bench over his first two seasons. He played a very undisciplined and unstructured brand of football at Texas Tech. That's the opposite of how Reed wants to play. Disagree. Andy Reid, I think, will in large part nurture the unstructured nature of Mahomes' game. I think he's going to be the quarterback of this team next year, period. He'll learn on the fly next year also. Number four, running back Spencer Ware, who unfortunately is now out for the season with a knee injury, led the team in yards per catch last season with 13.5. There are two reasons for that. One, the Chiefs have a brilliant and expansive screen game. They employ running backs not just on the staple backfield screens, but also some of the tight end and even receiver screens. And two, Kansas City will occasionally send a back on a deep downfield route out of the backfield. This is so unusual that most defenses don't have a response for it. They've never needed one. Ware was really productive on backfield vertical routes early last season. I add now, he clearly wrote that before Spencer Ware got hurt, but I think you can make that transition to Kareem Hunt. He's a guy who can do a lot of versatile things. Number five, the two best three tight end packages in football belong to Washington and Kansas City. What do those two teams have in common? An athletic, refined route-running tight end who can line up anywhere, Jordan Reed and Travis Kelce, and subtly athletic number two tight ends who can also line up anywhere, Vernon Davis and Demetrius Harris. Remove Kelce, and this is a significantly less potent offense. No kidding. Number six, no defense that has ever allowed less than 20 points a game has given up more yards than the 2016 Chiefs did, which speaks to KC's dependency on big plays. That's true. I'll save you the explanation from him because we know that. We understand that. The Chiefs relied on really good red zone defense and big plays, especially in big moments. Those are hard to recreate. That's a challenge the Chiefs are going to face this year. Number seven. The leader in those interceptions, Marcus Peters, 6, is fast becoming one of the best corners in football. You're damn right. I'll spare you the reading. Number 8. Because of all the matchup principles in Kansas City's coverages, flexibility at safety is key. Eric Berry and Ron Parker can both cover tight ends man-to-man. Parker can also cover slot receivers. Eric Berry and Ron Parker are huge assets to this team. Eric Berry has grown in recent years in his pass coverage. It was a problem for him early on in his career. Now it's a strength, and I love Ron Parker. Number 9. Second-year defensive lineman Chris Jones has a chance to be special. His initial quickness and raw strength are tremendous. Again, I've been telling y'all. That's just true. I think what Chris Jones is able to do this year is going to blow some people away. Number 10, it's hard to fault Tom Bahali for wishing he'd played more in the playoff loss to Pittsburgh. But it's also hard to fault defensive coordinator Bob Sutton for not getting Holly more reps. Sutton has two other superb edge players to rotate. Justin Houston, when healthy, of course, and Dee Ford. Both have the quickness and bendability to beat blockers with an athletic bull rush. Holly, at age 33, is still a high-octane presence, and his bull rush, thanks to sound mechanics, has always been terrific. Overall, it's an embarrassment of riches on the edge in Kansas City. Now, the Chiefs just need all three men to be healthy at the same time, which hasn't been the case often enough. Listen. That's never going to happen. I do think that's an interesting thing to have a conversation about. Was that the end of the bed? Oh, we freaking nailed that one. Wow. Good work by us. Which I guess means also that I just read for 5 minutes? No, whatever.
Well, it was more like you read for about 2 minutes and then talked for the other three.
That's true. You're right. That was actually a good back and forth. Don't mark that. That wasn't funny.
No, but it sums you up.
Well, yeah, this show isn't about reading. You know how boring the show would be if I just read things exclusively? I read things so we can talk about them and make larger scale points. Dummy. It's a highbrow show. Stupid. I think that perspective on the Chiefs edge rushers is really interesting, because, boy, I don't have it. I don't have that kind of faith in the outside linebackers right now. They're never healthy together. Tom Bahali might start the season on the pup list. I like Dee Ford. Whenever he wasn't being hamstrung by his hamstring last year, he was very good. And Justin Houston just hasn't shown us anything in 2 years. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, Beard says he has an update on that sword story. Look forward to that next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I think we did 2 really good hours.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And we also did this hour.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. Finishing out the week. Honestly, I am tired. I really am. I've talked about how talking gives me energy or whatever. I'm tired. I'm glad this week is over. But there's very little rest for the wicked, I think, as the song goes. That famous song, ain't very much rest for the wicked. Because I'm not doing any radio Saturday. But Sunday over on Sports Radio 810, you can find me doing Sports Sunday. We'll talk about all the things we talked about today, whatever else happens. We're going to have a lot of roster cuts to discuss. That will be great fun. And then Monday, Cody Tapp and I will be co-hosting Between the Lines because it's Labor Day, filling in for Kevin Keatsman. Beards McFly will be in doing the production. And I'll be over tonight doing Royals post-game. Because I just found out, I just had a tweet pop up here, the Royals are still playing. So that's breaking. That ought to really improve the post-game show tonight. All right, Beards, you gave the tease of a lifetime. You said you had an update to the story about a sword being stolen at Arrowhead.
Kansas City Police Department says gun and sword stolen from SUV parked in Lot E last night during the Chiefs game.
All right, hold on. Do you have more information than that?
Nope, that's what the tweet said.
Is there a story anywhere?
Yeah, it'll be on at 6.
Our show is off the air. By the way, there's none of this show is not here on Monday, so go listen to 810 on Monday. And then come back here Tuesday. Beards. I have questions. I have follow-up questions. The show ends at 6. This show has 5 minutes left. I want to know why somebody had a sword in their car. Someone had a sword in their car in Lot E.
And a gun.
That's more, I feel like that's more normal.
That, well, yeah, that's true.
America! But it's like 2017 in America, so like you have a gun in your car. If it was, I don't know, the 1400s in Europe, I would understand
you just have
why
a sword and a gun.
I understand why you had a sword in your car. Yeah, no gun in your car, just a sword in your automobile.
Well, 1400, sure.
In the 1400s, yeah.
I was thinking later because, you know, bayonets were a thing.
Right, right.
You
right.
just combine them.
Right, exactly. Maybe that's what he was doing. He was trying to do a DIY bayonet. I'm guessing it wasn't a
he
musket.
He just duct taped a cavalry sword on the end of his...
Of his Glock.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, that weapon is guaranteed to hurt exactly one person. Yourself. No question. But I'm... Was it an actual sword? I'm guessing this wouldn't be a story if it was an actual sword, but I was thinking is that maybe there was a... Maybe there was like a Titans fan that like had a big plastic sword or something.
I feel like the news wouldn't bother with a story about that if it was a plastic sword.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I feel like the cops would just laugh at you and say, okay.
Yeah, I thought that maybe that was... I thought maybe that was kind of like just a little cute little TV story. Like, oh, a sword got stolen. Lulz, it was plastic. But now I'm guessing it's a...
When the police are involved, I mean, there is a gun involved as well, but when it's the police, I'm assuming it's not just a toy sword.
I agree with you. I think you're right. I'm just wondering, also, was that somewhere you could see it? Could you see the gun and the sword through the window of your car?
He just had it lying in the passenger seat?
Yeah! Somebody just busted in and was like, all right, we're going to look at
this. He left the window open.
Right, yeah, that's it. Yeah, don't leave your
windows
down.
The door was open.
Here's a couple of pro tips. Don't leave your windows down. So people can reach in and steal your gun and your sword out of your car?
Actually, it was a pickup. He just had it laying in the back.
That's a good call.
Bed. Yeah.
Alternatively, don't have a gun and a sword in your car. Like, also, here's another thing I'm wondering. Are those usually in his car? Because you're going to Arrowhead. Did you pick up the sword on the way to the stadium? I'm guessing no.
I'm curious, is this a Chiefs fan or is this a Titans fan?
Another great question, Beards.
It is a great question.
But, like, are you transporting it from point A to point B and you just happen to stop at a fourth preseason game on the way? I feel like you've got to have that sword in your car for other reasons.
But you wouldn't.
You're not. He was coming off a crusade and you just left it there. He forgot it was in his car.
Right. But it's got. We're thinking it's got to be somewhere you could have seen it. Because you broke in and took it.
Or it could be like the, like a travel case just on top of the car.
He just had a sword just, and a gun just bungeed to the top of his Grand Cherokee.
Perfect.
We'll take your best gun sword theories on Twitter at JB Briscoe, at Beards McFly. Tweet him at Kansas City ESPN. The other people who have access to that account will be so confused. Somebody's tweeting us the station account about swords and guns? What? Why? All right, so we're not back here on Monday. We are off for 3 days here, but I'm going to be all over.
Well, we're not off.
Right, this show is off for 3 days.
Yeah, we're still working.
We're going to be all over the place. So you can catch Beards Night Tonight, Baseball Tonight postgame. You can catch me, Sports Sunday, 9 to noon on 810. And then us plus Cody Tapp. What a schlub.
Just bringing the content down.
From 2 to 6 on Monday over on 810. Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed this week of shows. And next week, we have actual football to talk about. Woo! Bye, Mom.